理课堂听 class.com
Studio Classroom is on the air. In these next 2 days, we're going to talk about how to overcome stage fright anxiety. Hi, everyone, and welcome to Studio Classroom. This is your advanced program, and my name is Troy Peterson. I'm your host on today's program, and this is a business article in your advanced magazine on page 33. And we're talking about a subject that I think probably most people can relate to, and it's on stage fright. Now, maybe you never had to give a public speech or perhaps even perform on a stage before, but there are other situations in life, like giving a book report in front of your class when you were in school that, you know, made you feel so afraid that you almost fainted. Well, we've all had those kinds of experiences, and today we're going to look at what we're afraid of, and tomorrow we're going to look at ways to overcome that kind of feeling or the fright of giving a public presentation. Well, with me in the studio today are two very fine young ladies, Esther and Amy. Hi, Esther.
Hi, Troy. I'm glad to be back. And I suffer from stage fright and microphone mic fright. So I'm excited to be here and talk about this article.
Well, I can understand. Stage fright and mic fright, that's true. When you see people who are afraid of the mic, what do they typically do?
Back away from it.
They back away from the mic when they're speaking. Okay. But that isn't what you do, Amy, right?
Well, not usually. I'm less afraid of the microphone because here in the studio, I know that if I make a mistake, we can stop and
go back.
And go back a little bit. But I do have stage fright sometimes, that when I have to give a speech or perform in public, I do get nervous. So I find this a very helpful article.
Well, let's begin then with today's article by having our first reading in the first column on page 33 down through line 32.
Stage fright. Don't let it kill your presentation. You have a problem. You're afraid to speak in public. Don't worry, you are not alone. Whether it is your first presentation or number 100, almost everyone suffers from some level of stage fright or performance anxiety. Although surveys show that people are more afraid of public speaking than death, flying, heights, or snakes, this fear can be controlled. It is a perfectly normal feeling and a form of energy that can be channeled to your benefit. To use these feelings to your own advantage, first, you must identify them.
So, you have a problem. Well, I'm not saying that you listeners have a problem, but maybe when you've been asked to speak in public, you discovered how afraid you felt. And, of course, we have a term for that. That's called stage fright. And all of us have felt that way. I remember the first time when I was a boy, I think I was 12 years of age, when I was asked to play my trumpet. I'm a trumpet player, and I was asked to play my trumpet in public for the first time. And I remember the feelings of anxiety and fear that just swept over me, even to the degree where when I got up in front and I began to play my music, the music coming through my instrument, my trumpet, shook. You could hear it shake. It was quivering and quaking because I was so nervous and my knees were knocking. That's a common expression we use when someone's very nervous. Their knees will actually knock together because your legs feel very weak. Now, have you ever had that experience, Esther?
Yes. When I was growing up, I took piano lessons, and each year we had to be in a piano recital. And I often made mistakes, and when I made mistakes, One of the ways I dealt with making a mistake would be I would start laughing. I would burst into laughter. And then, of course, I'd be more nervous and afraid, and I'd forget my piece and not be able to complete it. So, yes, I have experienced stage fright, and I'm very shy by nature. So this is something I need to deal with.
Good, good. And what about you, Amy? Have you ever been in a place or been asked to speak publicly and felt afraid?
Oh, many times. Well, since I've spent some time living in Asia, both in the mainland and in Taiwan, you know, when I would go back to my home college, sometimes people would ask me to give a talk about, well, what was it like to live over there? You know, and plus there were times in college or in high school, there have been so many times in my life, actually, that I've had to either speak in public, or what makes me even more nervous is when I have to sing a solo. Actually, I've had to do that a few times, and the first time I was so scared that, you know, I had the music in my hand. My hands were shaking so much I couldn't even read the music.
Wow.
So, but fortunately, the advice in this article can apply to that kind of fear, too, not just public speaking, but also just any fear of performing in public.
Sure. Well, I think our writer, her name is Marjorie Brody, she's certainly a person who knows a lot about this. In fact, she's an internationally recognized expert and motivational speaker on ways to enhance your career and your corporate etiquette. Well, if you are a corporate executive or a businessman, there are times when you do need to make presentations, either in board meetings or in sales meetings or in the general marketplace. And when asked to do that, you're going to feel that sense of fear that kind of grips your heart and quickens your, you know, your pulse, your heart begins to beat quickly. Well, don't worry. You are not alone, she says. She says whether it is your first presentation or number 100, almost everyone suffers from some level of stage fright or performance anxiety. So I suppose those two words, stage fright and performance anxiety, are probably synonyms, approximately the same in meaning. Okay. Well, what does she go on to say in line 16? Esther, what is interesting about public speaking and death? Do the two relate?
She actually says that surveys show that people are more afraid of public speaking than of death, flying, heights, or snakes. This is hard to imagine because I would think people would be very afraid of dying, or I'm personally very afraid of snakes.
Yes.
But people are afraid of public speaking.
For some reason, that's true. When asked, and I have seen several surveys over the years, and when people are asked, would you rather die than speak in public? People have said, yes, I would rather die than speak in public. Well, I don't think they really would rather die, but it's at the moment when they're having to stand up in front of a large crowd and speak, they're wishing they could die. There's, I wish I wasn't here, you know. Well, where else could you be? Well, dead.
Sometimes we use a term, I wish I could dig a hole and crawl into it.
Yes. Or I wish I could slide under the table.
That's right. You just kind of want to be invisible so you don't have to face whatever you're facing right then.
And it's interesting that Marjorie goes on to write in line 22 that this fear, the fear of public speaking, can be controlled. There is a way that you can get a handle on this so that it doesn't overrule you. I know of, in fact, just this last week, I went to a speech contest, and I was there as a judge, judging the contest, the contestants who then they came to the front and they would present their speech, and most of them were very afraid. Some of them you couldn't tell. I mean, they were able to hide their sense of fear, and they were able to focus on their subject very well. And but others, you know, other of the contestants, when they came forward, they froze up. They forgot their speech entirely. And that's a common experience among those who are asked to speak publicly. Suddenly, you know, their whole speech flies away. They can't remember a word of it. So she says it can be controlled. Well, how can you control it? Or what can you do with that energy, Amy?
You can actually channel that energy. And to channel something means that you control and direct it toward a particular purpose. And usually we use the verb channel when we're talking about either money or energy.
Okay.
And this actually sounds a lot like some advice that my public speaking professor in my university gave me. I remember she told us that when you're public speaking, you might feel very nervous mm-hmm. and have a lot of adrenaline, you know, kind of running through your system that makes you all kind of hyper
excited.
But she said, you know, actually that's a good thing because it gives you the extra energy and alertness that you need to do something out of the ordinary, something mm-hmm. that you don't normally do. So she said, you know, it's actually your body working to help you when mm-hmm. you have those kind of excited feelings that's going to give you, you know, that little extra something that you need to do something special, such as perform or give a speech.
So we need to realize that sense of excitement that we feel can actually work to our benefit.
Mm-hmm.
It can be an advantage, not a disadvantage. But most of us, when we have that sense of excitement, we look at it in a negative way. And we think, oh, I can't do this, you know. I'm feeling very nervous. No, you're just feeling very excited. And so if you look at it in a positive way, you can begin to channel, it says, that energy to your benefit. Now, what is a channel, if we're talking about it in the sense of a noun? What is a channel? Is it like a river?
It is similar to a river. For example, the English Channel is mm-hmm. a very famous channel. It's just a big body of water flowing in one direction.
Okay. So channels, rivers, canals, they all tend to focus or funnel, I think is the word that you used, something, in this case water, in a particular direction. But when you're giving a speech, you want to focus or direct that energy into your public speaking. So the writer, Marjorie Brody, says you can use those feelings to your own advantage. But what must you do first in line 31, Esther?
First, you must identify your fears.
Okay, so you must know what you're actually feeling. Sometimes we have trouble getting a handle or understanding our situation because we're not even sure about what we're feeling. So we need to find a way to, you know, say, hey, what am I feeling here? What am I wrestling with?
That's true. I think in many cases in our lives, not just public speaking, it's often helpful for us to just take a minute to stop and identify what we're feeling, what's bothering us, and then you can deal with it better.
Well, let's continue with today's reading, and let's look at the four most common fears about public speaking.
Here are the four most common fears about public speaking. Fear of fainting. Unless you have a medical problem, this is almost unheard of. You may feel faint, but it is highly unlikely that you will faint. Fear of boring your audience. Make sure your material is interesting and you have backed it up with facts, figures, and anecdotes to enhance and illustrate your points. Show enthusiasm about the topic with your voice and body language. If you are happy to be there, your audience will be too.
So, what is, Esther, what is the first most common fear about public speaking that a person would feel?
It is the fear of fainting. Some people are afraid that when they go up and speak, they will actually faint.
Okay, and so when you feel like you're going to faint, it means that, you know, there's this sudden rush of weakness to your whole system because, you know, your legs become weak and you feel like you're going to fall down.
That's true. And I think when you're nervous, you can feel faint. She says you may feel faint, but it is highly unlikely that you will faint. So when it says feel faint, faint there is an adjective that means dizzy or weak, and maybe you're feeling like you might faint, the verb faint, which is what she says at the end of the sentence. It's highly unlikely that you will faint, that you will really lose consciousness, fall over.
Well, it's interesting because when I was young as a boy and I had to speak publicly in school, I remember having these feelings of tremendous fear. And actually, I wished I could have fainted. please do faint. Someone take me out of here. Get me away from here. But this is one fear that people do have. They are afraid they might actually faint. And what would the second fear be?
It is the fear of boring your audience.
This is my biggest fear about public speaking, you know, is that I'll look out there and see all these bored faces. To me, that's the worst thing I think about when I have to speak in public.
You know, I think there are some people who, this is not really a criticism, but I think they enjoy listening to themselves speak.
Mm-hmm.
They like hearing themselves talk, that mm-hmm. they could care less. They could care less about what is happening to the audience, you know?
That's true.
It's like I'm talking, I'm enjoying what I'm saying. If the rest of you are bored, so be it. Who cares, you know? Some people do feel that way.
And that's true, and I think all of us have had to sit through long, boring talks, and so we don't want to be one of those people who's up there giving the long, boring talk.
So what does Marjorie Brody say we can do to ensure that our speech isn't boring, Esther?
She gives us some good tips. She says, make sure your material is interesting and you have backed it up with facts, figures, and anecdotes to enhance or to help illustrate your points.
Okay, what is an anecdote?
It's a short, true story that you can tell. We share a lot of anecdotes on Advanced Radio when we give a personal example from our own life.
Okay. And she also says facts and figures. While I agree with the writer here, I would take some exception to the fact that some people in some situations don't want to hear facts and figures. It tends to put them to sleep. And it makes a person feel bored when all they're listening to are facts and figures. There is, a general audience out there that appreciates that. They're going, yeah, I like that. But for the most part, facts and figures tend to bore your audience after a period of time. But I think you need a mixture of all three of these.
So perhaps you should try to get to know your audience. Know who will be attending, what type of people they are. If they're not people who have had a lot of schooling, they may not like it when you use long vocabulary words or use lots of numbers.
Mm-hmm.
That's true. I think it's important to have a balance. And I think if you're going to use facts and figures, often those can be interesting if they're surprising, something that the people didn't expect. For example, I thought her fact that people are more afraid of public speaking than of death, that's an interesting fact because it's something that we may not expect to be true.
Sure.
So I think if you just have a few facts and figures like that that will grab people's attention, that can make your speech more interesting.
Okay, and what else does she say on page 33 in the Advanced Magazine on line 3?
She says, show enthusiasm about the topic with your voice and body language.
Okay, enthusiasm. Let that be expressed through your voice and through your body. Well, let me give our listeners an example. This would be, if I were unenthusiastically speaking, hi, everyone. My topic today is about stage fright. You see, that's very boring.
Mm-hmm.
Now, here would be something, this would be more enthusiastically. Hi, everyone. My subject today is about stage fright.
That's right.
My listeners can't see my body, but if I were to put my body into that, I might use my hands to talk and to express myself.
That's true, and I've actually heard that the number one cause of boredom when people are listening to a teacher or someone speak is speaking in a monotone. That means you just talk like this and your voice doesn't go up and down.
You sound like a robot.
Exactly. And some speakers do tend to do that. They just kind of talk like this and it's not very interesting. But if you can put more enthusiasm in your voice, people will probably be more interested to hear what you have to say.
That's right, because it sounds like you, too, are interested.
Mm-hmm.
Will you tell us the third point, Esther? What is the third most common fear?
The fear of your mind going blank.
In fact, that actually happened, didn't it?
It did.
It happened. It happened this last week when I went to hear those who gave their speech. Most of the students, I would say probably over 50% of them, forgot most of their speech because they were afraid of their mind going blank. Well, let's read about that then, that problem and the last one.
Fear of your mind going blank. This can happen. We have all seen it happen to other people, and you need to learn what to do if it happens to you. Pause, look at your notes or outline, and try to pick up again where you left off, or move on to your next thought. Fear of being judged. It is important that the audience knows you enjoy your subject, even if you've made some mistakes or have lost your place. a sincere presenter doing her best, who is obviously well prepared, will not be judged harshly.
Okay, well, the fear of your mind going blank. When we talk about a blank, we just mean something's empty. Sometimes we've seen blanks on the piece of paper, and you need to put something in that blank, fill it in. Okay, well, this can happen. We've all seen it happen. And what can we learn from it? Or what do we need to learn to help us to overcome that?
Well, if your mind goes blank while you're giving a public speech and you forget what you're supposed to say next, the best thing to do is to pause and kind of just, you know, look calm while you're doing this and to look at your notes or your outline and try to pick up again where you left off or just move on to your next thought.
Okay. Esther, do you think that would work most of the time?
I think so. And I think this reminds me of the concept of being prepared. When you make a speech, you need to be prepared. You can also use visual aids such as bring a handout or using a PowerPoint presentation or perhaps bring note cards that can help you remember what you want to say.
Sometimes I find that when a person does forget what, you know, they want to say and their mind goes blank, they begin to, even though they pause, they're now feeling even more afraid. It's kind of a phobia that begins to turn in on itself. And then, it's a psychosis. They go, oh my, I forgot what I was going to say, and now everyone's looking at me, and I still can't remember what I'm trying to say, and it just gets worse and worse and worse. On the other hand, the presenters that I saw this last week giving speeches, when they forgot, they stood there, and they waited, and they didn't just leave, or they didn't give up, but they continued to think and recall. They tried hard. They struggled to remember, you know, where to begin and where to end. So I complimented them on that. I said, I'm glad you didn't just leave, you know, the stage. You stayed there and you worked hard to remember your speech. And practice taking that pause. What is number four?
The fear of being judged.
So that's the fourth most common fear that people have of public speaking is the fear of being judged. What do we mean by that? Does that mean someone's going to bring an indictment against you or send you to jail?
No, we don't mean this in the literal sense. Now, you can be judged in a speech contest, then you're being judged in a literal sense. But sometimes when you talk about other people judging us in a negative way, we mean that they are kind of passing judgment on us, that they're giving opinions about us that may not be positive. So, for example, if I saw Troy giving a speech and I sat there going, oh, he's a terrible speaker, that's a terrible speech, I would be judging him.
Mm-hmm. Yes,
not that I would do that, Troy.
No, of course you wouldn't do that, would you? Well, you know, this is an interesting point, isn't it, Esther? Because when we are asked to speak publicly and we do that, if it's something we're not accustomed to doing or we're not confident about our subject, we might start asking ourselves, I wonder what they're thinking about me. Mm-hmm. I wonder what they're thinking of me. I'm not any good at this. I'm so stupid. Why am I even up here? You know, and then you begin to judge yourself and you become critical of yourself.
That's right. You lose confidence. So I think as a listener or as a person in the audience, next time when I'm listening to someone give a speech, I'm going to be more responsive. I think I'll smile, perhaps nod my head, and let them know that they're doing a good job.
That's a good point. If you are in the audience and you're listening to the speech, find ways to encourage the person to speak by smiling at them.
And I think you can actually help the speaker do a better job by supporting them and encouraging them by the way you respond. You know, not out loud, of course, but if you do look like you're paying attention, you're listening, that can give them confidence, and usually a confident speaker is a better speaker.
Yes, and I find that when someone smiles at me while I'm speaking, all that gives me tremendous confidence because I know that they're supporting me. And by the way, my wife is that person that I often look to for that smile. Well, let's listen to today's skit.
Man, am I nervous or what?
What?
Or worse, I've got to give a presentation in front of my boss tomorrow, and I'm terrified of speaking in public.
No way.
You're great at giving speeches, and your boss is cool. What's the worst that could happen?
Well, he is nice, but you know my knees shake when I talk. What if I faint?
Oh, come on. Like, that never happens.
Well, what if he gets bored? It's a long speech.
Not a chance. You really know your stuff, and you know how to explain things to others.
Well, I would like to make a good impression with the boss, but...
But what?
What if my mind goes...
Blank?
Ah!
All right, well, good skit. And it sounded like that his mind did go blank. Well, I hope your mind doesn't go blank when you're trying to speak English as a second language, and that everything you have learned on today's program, you won't forget by tomorrow. Well, let's review then the four most common fears about public speaking. What is the first point, Esther?
The fear of fainting.
Second point?
Fear of boring your audience.
Third fear?
Fear of your mind going blank.
And the last fear?
Fear of being judged.
Okay. Well, there probably are other fears that some of us feel when we're asked to speak publicly. On the other hand, these are the four most common, the writer suggests to us here.
But these fears can all be overcome, and tomorrow we'll find out how.
Thank you. So don't let it kill your presentation. You can overcome your stage fright by applying the four suggestions that Marjorie Brody will mention to us or give to us tomorrow. So come back, and until then, this is Troy.
This is Esther.
And Amy.
Saying goodbye.
Goodbye.